Welcome, dear listeners, to another installment of this month's Holiday Haunts, our annual series of seasonally sinister radio plays. The following exercise in terror was executed live at the Bickford Theater at the Morris Museum in Morristown, New Jersey, on Sunday, December 4th, 2016.
Everyone, I'm Ali Silva. We are absolutely thrilled to be sharing with you this special holiday edition of Fireside Mystery Theater here at the beautiful Bickford Theater at the Morris Museum in Morristown, New Jersey. What a magnificent theater this is! We're so glad that you can join us. Happy holidays. A long time back, particularly in the mid-18th century, if you were wealthy and distinguished enough, one of the most lavish Christmas gifts you could ever hope to receive was your very own automaton. Now, what exactly is an automaton, you might ask? By definition, an automaton is simply a self-operating machine. But more often, the word is used to describe mechanical figures that have been designed to imitate the movements of humans and animals. Think of the audio animatronic figures at the Walt Disney theme parks on rides such as Pirates of the Caribbean. But as hard as it might be to believe, this curious practice, where art meets science to create the illusion of life, well, it goes back far into our human history. Breathtaking examples of automata can be found in all corners of the globe, from China to ancient Greece to medieval France. Clockwork mechanisms that, with the simple crank of a turnkey, brings to life human or animal-like figures, figures that blink, walk, talk, smoke cigars, play musical instruments, perform illusions, operate vehicles. So lifelike, if not exactly alive. And all created centuries before the advent of computers and modern robotics. Have we piqued your interest in automatons yet? Excellent, excellent. Then you'll be excited to learn that we will welcome some very special mechanical guests to our stage a little later in our program. And they won't be traveling far, as our specimens come from the Murto D. Guinness collection of automata here at the Morris Museum. It's the finest collection of its kind in the United States. The following radio play, The Philosopher's Clone, written by Sylvan Sandovar, dares us to look deep into the glass eyes of one of these older creations, as it takes us on a journey where art meets technology, fact blurs with fantasy, and wonderment intersects with terror. It is a fine Tannenbaum, I think.
But the one we had last year was a bit taller and more haughty-looking, was it not?
Well, now that you mention it.
I mean, I wouldn't call it an embarrassment or anything of the sort. Not exactly.
I must admit, it was hard not to notice the impressiveness of the one we saw in Count Schmid's salon.
And he of a lower rank than our family.
Best not to dwell on that, I suppose. Let us not make such commentary where it might fall on Father's ears, shall we?
Good evening, my dears. Amin, Elizabeth.
Good evening, Father.
Good evening, husband.
Have you ever seen a finer example of the fir tree? I say old Hans the woodcutter never fails us. It must be, at the very least, 6 inches taller than last year's Tannenbaum.
Oh, yes, Adrian, you're quite right in saying so.
Father, did you not see the Tannenbaum at the salon of Count Schmidt?
What of it?
How is it that he has a fir tree in his home that is noticeably larger than ours?
It is larger than ours?
It is.
Elizabeth, is this true?
Ermine, do not listen to her, Adrian.
Forgive me, Baron.
Lotte, your entrance into our chamber is well timed. I want you to relay this message to Hans the Woodcutter the instant you find him fumbling about our kitchen door. I want you to tell him these 3 things. 1, to come here at once, to remove this pathetic and undernourished fir tree from my home. 2, he must replace it immediately. He must cut down, without contest, the largest fir tree he can find. I will not further endure any more of his infernal laziness. And 3, inform him that if he wishes to engage in further business with me, he will perform this task at no additional charge.
Yes, Baron. Baron, I'm here to tell you that you have a visitor.
A visitor? Were we expecting anyone?
Not to my knowledge.
It is Herr Kranz.
Thomas Kranz, the clockmaker?
Yes, Baron.
I sent no invitation for him. Did you, Elizabeth?
No, I did not.
Are we in need of any of his services?
None that I can think of.
Then why in heavens would he... No matter. Send him in.
Baron von Kleist? Herr Kranz.
Baron von Kleist! Your most honorable sir, may I rest this crate here by the door... It's not heavy, but it is a bit unwieldy.
Heavens, such a large crate.
Kranz, may I ask, what is the meaning of this very forward and familiar way of approaching my home?
Oh, good Baron, I beg, do not be cross with me, sir. I only come bearing a gift that I wish to present to you and your beloved family.
And where are the other 2 wise men? Lost to the Star of Bethlehem, perhaps?
Ermine, silence, child.
Your daughter's excellent breeding is well reflected by the sharpness of her wit. Very good, my dear. I shall repeat that remark on my other visits. With your kind permission, of course.
You have it.
What's this about a gift, then?
I am most happy to disclose that you are among my most cherished and valued patrons, Baron von Kleist.
Well, you are in all respects renowned for your craft, Herr Kranz. All of Europe agrees with me. Every single clock in this house is a piece of your exquisite handiwork.
I am beyond flattered, Your Honor. Your complete satisfaction is what compels me towards excellence.
So you have a gift for us?
At this instant, I realize that I may have misspoken. I seem to recall saying a moment ago that you are among my most valued patrons. Forgive my fatuous slip of the tongue. You... Baron von Kleist are, without question, my most valued patron of all.
Am I?
Yes, you are indeed. And because of the depth of kindness you have shown me, I am presenting you with this. Allow me a moment to remove it from its box.
A crate so tall. I reckon that it must be a grandfather clock. Have I guessed correctly?
Herr Kranz, if it's one of your clocks, I'm afraid we don't really have a good place for another one. As fine as they...
Look! It's not a clock after all. It's a doll. A girl.
Allow me to finish removing her from this box. One must be gentle with such a thing.
Mannequin, this is your gift then?
Is that what I think it is?
It is very well made, I think. So lifelike.
Heavens, too lifelike for me.
Mother, father, don't you realize what it is? It's not some common plaything. That is what they call an automaton, is it not, Herr Kranz?
How correct you are, my dear. By Jehovah, did I not already proclaim the wit of this delightful progeny of yours, Baron von Kleist?
I've only seen automatons a handful of times, but never one like this. What does this elegant, fair-haired girl do?
If I'm sure you won't mind if I rest her here a moment. Not even our good King Frederick has such a figure as this among his many possessions. That should reasonably display the extent of the regard in which I honor the persons of this house.
What does it do?
This young maiden is capable of several wonders.
Wonders?
How did you come to create such a work as this, Herr Kranz? I confess, she's quite lifelike.
I must tell you the truth, kind Baron. She is not so much a creation of my own, but a restored and, dare I say, improved object from my personal collection of automata.
So I am your most cherished patron, and yet you present to me a used item.
Sir, allow me to elucidate. This is one of the rarest items in the world. There is none other like it.
Is that so?
Who here in this room knows the name René Descartes?
The French philosopher.
I think, therefore, I am.
Most accurate you are, my ladies.
Then this mannequin was a possession of the René Descartes?
Not merely a possession, dearest and most perceptive Baron, but in all actuality, a product of his own design and creation.
A heretic this Descartes must have been.
Lottie, please hold your tongue.
Oh, au contraire, kind woman. Monsieur Descartes created this doll to prove the point that animals are merely machines not endowed with souls. He named her Francine, after his own daughter. It is said, when stood side by side, that it was quite impossible to identify the actual daughter from her mechanical counterpart.
Interesting, to be sure. How did you come to possess this,
automaton, Father.
Yes, automaton.
Another excellent query. In his later years, Monsieur Descartes was known to travel everywhere with his mechanical marvel. He kept his beloved Francine in a trunk by his side as he slept each evening. One night in the year 1642, as he sailed across the Holland Sea, the captain of the ship crept into Descartes' quarters, as he was curious about the contents of the philosopher's trunk. He was a superstitious man, and because he was ignorant of the advanced sciences of the great philosopher, he was so repulsed by the sight of the figure that he hurled Francine overboard into the cruel sea. She was thought to be lost forever, and to most, her existence has been believed to be nothing short of apocryphal. But, as you can see before your very eyes right now, she was retrieved and has been revived.
How can you be certain that this is the same mannequin built by René Descartes?
Observe here. On the back of her thigh, that is the signature and seal of the great man. It's right here. I assure you that any authority on the subject can help to authenticate my claim.
And how did she come to be in your possession?
Oh, that, dear lady, is the most tedious and least interesting aspect of this story, and my telling of it would only elicit copious yawns and drooping eyelids. But I will say this. When Francine did come into my possession, she was in need of much repair and restoration. In doing so, I uncovered a vastly greater enlightenment in the art of machine-making. I was able to follow the master's inspiring hand, and in return, I was able to endow her with some flourishes of my own.
Wonderful. Now, what does she do?
Hermine, where are your manners?
Her sentiment is apt, dearest Baroness. I have a terrible tendency to ramble on. Allow me to demonstrate how it operates. First, I turn this silver key you see here clockwise, like this. Would my young lady like the honor?
Why, yes. Mother, may I?
Yes, dear, you may.
Be careful, child.
Fie.
For our first demonstration, turn her key twice, clockwise.
Like so?
Excellent, my dear. Now observe.
It plays music.
Most delightful, clockmaker.
But wait, dear Baron, wait.
Great God! It moves like an actual person. Remarkable.
Look how her eyes blink and dart from side to side. How she nods and glances to left and right. She's a wonder to behold.
Lottie, what's wrong with you, woman? It looks as if the blood has gone from your face.
Forgive me, sir. I get a queer feeling from this thing.
Oh, for the love of heaven, it's only a toy.
But the way its mouth moves. Oh, it just turned its head. It's looking at me, sir. It's looking straight at me, isn't it?
Yes. She is looking at you, isn't she, dear Lottie? What fun I will have playing pranks on you with this mechanical maiden.
That's quite enough, Ermine.
Oh, Elizabeth, my wife, do I also detect something that looks like unease in your gaze? This is nothing more than a creature of wonder, whimsy, amusement. Don't you agree, Herr Kranz?
Yes, Baron. Francine is only meant to provide you amusement and pleasure. But wait. My dear, I'd like you to give the key another 2 rotations, clockwise again.
Splendid.
Good Lord.
She's, but how is this possible?
She hasn't a partner.
But that is the most graceful waltz I've ever seen executed by any dancer. Astounding. I shall be the envy of all my friends.
May I join you in this dance, m'lady?
Look, Papa! They're dancing together now! Herr Kranz and Francine!
Saints in heaven!
Oh, how lovely it is to dance with thee. See? Anyone can dance with this lovely lady if they desire. All right. Let us rest a moment, my dear, here, by the harpsichord. I'll just set her down by the keyboard here, if I may.
What a marvel, Herr Kranz. May I have the next dance?
Certainly. But first, I'd like you to turn her key again, this time 4 times. But counterclockwise this time.
More wonders, more tricks. What will she do next?
You must turn the key as I told you, my dear. 4 times, counterclockwise.
Is she really
playing the keyboard?
By all that is holy!
Breathtaking. What is that lovely composition? It's quite familiar to my ear.
Oh, yes, it seems to be on the tip of my tongue. It's not Bach, is it?
Nonsense, it sounds more like Schumann's hand.
No, that's not Schumann. Brahms.
It's neither.
Mendelssohn?
It was composed by Francine herself.
Then it was composed by the devil himself.
Be silent, Lottie.
My dear Lottie, there is nothing to fear. My Francine is nothing but a machine. Here, if I unlace her bodice, I can show you. Look, inside she is made in very much the same manner as any clock. An intricate system of hooks, wheels, springs, and gears. More than 5,000 individual pieces, all working in unison to create the illusion of life. Please remember, dear Lottie, that is all this is, a mechanical illusion with only one purpose, to delight and entertain.
It is a remarkable invention, then, Herr Kranz.
Thank you, Lottie. So, at the risk of being accused of begging for a compliment, what does everyone else here think of your new companion?
I salute you, Herr Kranz, for this most thoughtful present. I will not soon forget this gesture.
It is a true wonder, Herr Kranz. As a Christmas gift, it is simply magnificent.
So, what else does she do?
Ermine, where have your manners gone?
It was not my intention to be rude, Mother. He just said she can do many things. Did we witness all of those many things then, Herr Kranz?
Ermine is correct. Francine contains many secrets, the discovery of which will be a great part of the joy of owning her. I shall allow you the pleasure of making these discoveries on your own.
Oh, please, Herr Kranz, tell me one of the secrets. Please, please, I beg you.
Please, Ermine, I stop behaving like a child. Act like a young lady. You embarrass yourself.
Well, since you've been so kind to me, come here, child, and I'll whisper in your ear her greatest secret.
Oh, you will? Thank you.
Come, come.
Is that all there is to it?
It's as simple as that. Just do as I instructed, and you will see.
May I try it now?
Give it a moment before you try it. Now that I know I have pleased his honor and his cherished family, I must bid you auf Wiedersehen. But before I leave you...
Yes, Herr Kranz?
Do you remember a gentleman named Johannes Voss?
I should say I do. He was a spy and a traitor.
Yes. Yes, unfortunately he was, Baron. But you may not know he was also my half-brother. You saw to it that he was hanged.
A fair punishment, I say. He was spying for the wretched Lithuanians.
Yes, it was the price he had to pay.
Why do you speak of this now, Herr Kranz?
I only mention it to say that I bear you no ill will. And that he wasn't always that rotten. My brother, that is. And that is how I wish to remember him, anyway. He was the last living relative I had. But I understand it's what had to be done. The right thing, as painful as it is to concede, was done.
That is quite noble of you to express such sentiment, dear clockmaker. Again, we thank you for this Christmas gift. Happy Christmas to you, and...
I have no one else now to celebrate the holiday with. But thank you just the same, dear Baron, for your continued and loyal patronage. Happy Christmas.
Mother, father, let's try the secret.
Oh, Amin.
Johannes Voss was his brother.
It's very simple, actually.
I don't like that thing. Not one bit. I don't care how it works.
What an awful coincidence.
Very simple. To see the illusion, all you do is this. You turn the key 6 times clockwise and 1 more time counterclockwise.
Illusion? What illusion?
He didn't say. He just said it would be the most incredible sight.
The more I consider it, the more I think we should throw this abomination on the fire. Descartes or no Descartes, Kant's is blood related to that.
I am in agreement, husband. Just let Ermine see what this illusion is all about first.
Oh, burning it really put a stop to it.
And that's 6 cranks. And now 1 more crank, but counterclockwise.
Sold to the man for £75. Congratulations, sir. You are the winner of this marvelous, one-of-a-kind item. Thank you all very much for coming indeed. That concludes our auctions afternoon. Thank you, gentlemen.
How splendid! Wonderful! Here's your £75.
Thank you, sir. If you wouldn't mind signing here. Thank you, sir.
I can't tell you how excited I am.
Collect things like this, do you, sir?
No. I was more interested in some of the etchings originally, but this lovely but odd-looking lady automaton really caught my fancy for some reason. Still works, does it?
Remember, as we said quite clearly at the open, sir, all sales are final.
Yes, sir. I understand. I still wonder if it works, though.
I wouldn't know that, sir. Would you like to know the story behind it?
Yes, I believe I would.
Well, I can't say for sure if it's true or not, but this is what I was told. It was given to one Baron von Kleist and his family as a Christmas gift from the Prussian clockmaker Thomas Kranz.
Ah, this piece was made by the Thomas Kranz. Then I got a bargain, didn't I?
Well, I have no documentation or provenance to prove previous ownership. All I have is the story that's been told to me. Kranz also made automata in his spare time as gifts for his wealthy patrons, but he didn't actually make this one, I'm told.
Yes, of course. Of course, if this was one of his pieces, it would have been far more expensive than £75. They don't come up for auction that frequently.
It might be rarer and even more valuable than that, if you can prove it. Now, I've been told that Thomas Kranz didn't make this piece. It was already more than a century old when he got his hands on it. He went around telling folks that it was the creation and property of René Descartes.
Descartes? The philosopher?
The very same.
He built automatons. I never heard of such a thing.
Story has it that he did. Anyhow, this Thomas Kranz fellow gets his hands on it, restores it, and gives it a few new tricks of his own. Well, the story goes that the thing is, how do I say it? Cursed.
Cursed. How interesting.
Well, apparently, the night Krantz dropped this lovely lass at the von Kleist home.
Yes.
The next day, the Baron, his wife, and daughter, along with one of their maids, I believe, were all found stone dead, lying around that figure you now have in your possession.
Dead? From what? How did they die?
Natural causes, from what they say. But story has it each corpse had an expression of terror stamped on its face that would have... that could have... Ah, but that is a story from many years ago.
Well, unless you can furnish some proof, I'd have to say that I have to dismiss this story as property of the realm of myth. You don't believe in curses, do you?
Now, why would I believe in such a thing, sir? Enjoy your purchase, sir. Come back anytime. Anytime at all.
A footnote. The following entry comes from Stephen Graukroger's Descartes, An Intellectual Biography, published by Oxford Press, 1995. Quote, since the 18th century, there has been in circulation a curious story about Descartes. It is said that in later life, he was always accompanied in his travels by a mechanical, life-sized female doll, which, we are told by one source, he himself had constructed to show that animals are only machines and have no souls. He had named the doll after his illegitimate daughter, Francine, and some versions of events have it that she was so lifelike that the two were indistinguishable. Descartes and the doll were evidently inseparable, and he is said to have slept with her, encased in a trunk at his side. Once, during a crossing over the Holland Sea, sometime in the early 1640s, while Descartes was sleeping, the captain of the ship, suspicious about the contents of the trunk, stole into the cabin and opened it. To his horror, he discovered the mechanical monstrosity, dragged her from the trunk and across the decks, and finally managed to throw her into the water. We are not told whether she put up a struggle. A special thanks to our friend, the esteemed Professor David Rollison, for helping to shed light on this fascinating bit of history. He also shared with us the following poem written by Anita Barrows as inspiration for this play. Here to read Descartes' Daughter is our own Mary Murphy.
Descartes' daughter, Francine, born in 1635, was her father's beloved. The philosopher took her everywhere, doted on her, dressed her in silks and laces. When she was 5, scarlet fever broke out. The child sickened and died. Devastated, her father built a robot child. A mechanical daughter of screws and bolts, who moved, turned her head, wore Francine's dresses. She remained 5 years old. Her father, the thinker, continued to carry her where he went, read to her, talked to her. By firelight, her metal features glowed. Did he thus conquer death? Evenings he sat in his study across from the doll, trapped between grief, insanity, and triumph. Watching reflections in her fixed eyes of the living flame.
And now, a musical performance by the amazing Nicole Zoraitis. Word from one of our sponsors.
Allie Silva in All I Flaunt for Christmas.
Hello, who is it?
James Reeser, your co-star from Fireside Mystery Theater, here knocking at your door with the hopes of being welcome inside so I can extend my sincerest holiday wishes.
Oh, hi, James. Come in.
Aren't you happy to see your old buddy, James Reeser? Your co-star from Fireside Mystery Theater?
I was hoping it was the mailman. I was expecting a parcel from Fifth and Maiden Handcrafted Jewelry.
More Fifth and Maiden Jewelry, Allie? More?
What do you mean, more? One can never have enough.
Maybe it's time to check you into a support group of some kind. Everywhere I look in this apartment, I see beautiful, bespoke Fifth and Maiden original handcrafted creations.
You love to exaggerate, James.
Exaggerate. Instead of regular ornaments on your Christmas tree, you have nothing but Fifth and Maiden necklaces, bracelets, and earrings hanging from the branches.
So?
And what are all these styrofoam busts doing all over the place with pictures of your face taped to the front of each one, no less? They're all modeling the latest Fifth and Maiden creations.
When you get near a point, James, try making one.
And your poor cats, Eliza and Sammy. I know you love them, but did you really need to pierce their little ears so they could model Fifth and Maiden's glamorous earrings?
Oh, they hardly let out a meow. It was much harder putting the Christmas sweaters on them, actually.
Well, I've had it. I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to say, but... Merry Christmas.
You got me a present! You got me a present!
Yep.
What is it? What is it? Gimme!
It's just a tin full of my homemade Linzer tarts. And...
I hate you.
Just kidding. I got you this Coronado Island statement bracelet from Fifth and Maiden.
I love you! give it to me.
James Reeser here to remind you this holiday season that all the glitters is not just gold, but also everything you'll find at fifthandmaiden.com. Fifth and Maiden offers wholesale organic luxury jewelry and housewares that blend clean lines.
With a bit of shimmer.
With a bit of shimmer. Made with exquisite natural finds directly from the stunning California coastline, all Fifth and Maiden pieces are handcrafted in their SoCal studio. To learn more, just go to their website, fifthandmaiden.com. Fifth and Maiden are the official jewelers of Fireside Mystery Theater.
And that concludes this week's program. Baron von Kleist was played by Bill Heidrich. Thomas Krantz was played by James Reeser. Mary Murphy played Ermine. Annabelle Rollison played Lottie. The Auctioneer was played by Michael Pate. The Winning Bidder was played by Eric Davy Gislison. And I played the part of Elsabeth. The Philosopher's Clone was written by Sylvan Sandovar and directed by Annabelle Rollison. The musical performance, Do You Hear What I Hear?, written by Noel Regney and Gloria Shane Baker, was arranged and performed by Nicole Zoraitis. Our show is produced by Gustavo Rodriguez, Daniel and Rebecca Graves, and myself for Fireside Mystery Productions. Our theme music is by Jason Graves. Our musical score was improvised by John Gary. Our sound designer is Greg Russ. Our production coordinator is Dahlia Morali. Our production assistant is Brontis Shane Arengo. And our technical director at the Bickford Theater was Louis Perlmutter. An extra special thanks to Eric Hafen, Michelle Marinelli, Jerry Ryder, and all the amazing staff at the Morris Museum and the Bickford Theater. Be sure to pay the museum a visit, especially to see the Murto D. Guinness Collection, the largest and finest collection of automata in the United States. Visit morrismuseum.org for more info. And if you're in the New York City area, make plans to join us at the Slipper Room for our next live taping. Snowbound in Sunken Harbor will be a trip to our favorite creepy little seaside town on Sunday, January 29th at 7 p.m. Tickets on sale at slipperroom.com. Tune in next week as we unwrap another hellish holiday adventure. In the meantime, if you enjoyed this week's show, please rate and review us on iTunes. We'd be ever so grateful. This is Ali Silva. It's the holiday season, so have fun and be merry. But do take care when accepting gifts from strangers. And of course, mind the shadows.